You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to Alec Feldman, the podcast from Wizard Radio. We've taken his show, broadcast live on Saturdays between 3 and 5, then cut out the songs, news, and other bits that aren't very interesting, leaving you with about an hour-ish of sweet, juicy content. Content. Just one more thing. Don't bother sending in any messages, we'll probably never see them. You may be charged, but your entry won't be counted. Because this isn't live, obviously. It's a podcast. It's already happened. In the past. To get involved, just listen live on Saturdays between 3 and 5 on Wizard Radio Station. I'd like to be able to say you won't regret it, but I can't.
This is Alec Feldman on Wizard Radio.
And first up this afternoon, Justin Bieber. With Hold On, not Harry Styles, Justin Bieber, and he was on Comic Relief last night, performed this song. Lots of people were saying it looked like he was scratching his down theirs. I didn't watch Comic Relief, I've got to be honest, so I don't know whether the performance was any good. I was instead watching all of the daily briefings from the last 12 months, because I think they're a bit funnier.
It's Saturday. It's 3 o'clock. Now, live from Manchester, Alec Feldman.
It's Wizard Radio, and that was Mike Shinoda, Ian Dior, and Upsar with Happy Endings, and Justin Bieber, Hold On, was before that afternoon. Alec Feldman on till 5 o'clock. Thank you for joining me. Welcome, welcome, one and all. Sit down, make yourself comfortable. Today, here's a great fact that doesn't really go anywhere, is the first day of astronomical spring, which is different from like some other type of spring that starts on the 1st of March. But the 20th of March is the first day of astronomical spring, which is something to do with like planets and stars and stuff, not horoscopes. It's not that. So that's where we're at. Like I said, that observation doesn't really go anywhere, but it's nice. It's a nice way to document time, which other than that feels quite samey. So how's it going? Welcome along on the show this afternoon. Birthday videos, I would like to discuss this. Hometown holidays, I think we need to discuss this. I have some more for you on the fact that we're kind of going through like the Panniversary at the moment. We've been doing this for a year. So I want to chat about that before 4 o'clock, and also after four. You know, there's a census on. I feel like I have a contribution to what is currently happening in terms of data collection that I will share after 4 o'clock. Also, about 20 past four, I've got a new game. I know that is a phrase that normally strikes fear into the hearts of many, but I've got another one. It's called Musician or Motorway. I know you're excited already, aren't you? That's coming up at 4:20 p.m. Also on the show, a 60-second guide. We'll play What's Going On. We'll get that going before 4 o'clock, and music coming up from 24K Golden and Ash and Doja Cat as well. It's all good. You don't need to go anywhere else because there's nothing else to do. So just hang out with me for a couple of hours. It'll be fun. Next, let's do the worst and best things in the world this week. Every week at the start of the show, I like to tell you what I'm liking, what I'm disliking in this particular week of the world, because I'm very fickle. I change my mind on a weekly basis. But this week, here's what I'm loving and hating, right? The worst thing in the world this week. The realization that we're really dependent on one company for, like, everything. You know what I'm talking about. The terrible events of yesterday afternoon that left people lost, confused, anxious for upwards of half an hour when all of Facebook's services went down. So that's Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp, Messenger. They're all gone. Couldn't use them for not actually that long. But the world was thrown into chaos. People were back on Twitter. I haven't seen Twitter so lively in months. And it was the realization that, like, hang on, how do we talk to people? Oh no, I'll just WhatsApp someone to let them know that Facebook's down. Oh wait, I can't. I'll just Messenger them. No, can't do that either. What do I do? SMS? So I sent a couple of actual texts yesterday in the brief period that all of the Facebook stuff was down. So that'll be taken out of my allowances. I hope I don't run out this month. I don't think I've ever run out, ever. But it's a risk if Facebook keeps going down. But how mad is that? That, like, that one company owns so much of the internet that if they go down, we're all a bit screwed for 20 minutes. It's not good. I feel like they should do something about that. I don't know what. I'm not here with solutions, just problems. But they should do something about that. That's all I'm saying. The best thing in the world this week, it's two things. The first is the two slightly older ladies I saw yesterday when I was walking about, and they were sat at a table in what would normally be like a pub beer garden if pubs were actually open, and they were having the fanciest picnic I've ever seen. They had a tablecloth. They had brought a tablecloth to put it on top of like a wooden, basically, bench. You know, the type that has like the seats that you look inward and you've got the table in the middle. They put a tablecloth on that. Very classy. They had a big straw hamper. Again, very fancy. And to top it all off, they had a cake stand. They brought a cake stand to their picnic. Fully legal, I think. You're allowed one person outside, aren't you? In the UK, well, in England. So it complies, ticks every boxes, and is really stylish as well. So much respect to that. Two older ladies eating cake off a cake stand on a park bench with a tablecloth. Fancy as. The other best thing in the world this week, it's my favourite person in the world. I haven't spoken about him on the radio for ages, actually. I do try to limit how much I talk about him, because I could just do it every week. Craig David. I love Craig David. I think he's brilliant. I just think he's a completely ridiculous human being. One of his greatest assets is his total lack of any sense of his own ridiculousness. I think he's really funny. He doesn't even realise. And he's done an interview with the Metro newspaper, and it's just blown my mind. It's incredible. It's better than I ever could have imagined. It's just peak Craig David. And I would like to talk about this in much more detail, so we'll do this in about an hour. If you can wait around that long, 1 hour's time, I will dissect this interview that Craig David did with the Metro. All I will say now is that he claimed to have eaten granola every meal for several weeks. Was it granola? I mean, it was worse than granola. I'll tell you what the mystery cereal that Craig David tried to eat every meal for several days at 4:10. It's incredible. It's the best thing I've seen all week. More details to come if you can stick around. And next, I would like to tell you more about birthday videos. I've had a little project going on the side this week that I would like to tell you all about after 24K Golden. 24K Golden with 3-2-1 on Wizard Radio. Alec Feldman here. Coming up, Ash and Phineas playing soon. Doja Cat as well. But right now, I did something very special this week. I had a little, like, project going on. I like projects. Projects are fun. Projects give you something to do. They're like a little thing that you can just have on the side. It's kind of ongoing. You get to send emails about it and be organized and write lists and tick stuff off. I just kind of enjoy them. You feel like you're working towards something. They're very satisfying. And the project I was working towards this week was the creation of a birthday video. I feel like birthday videos have been around for like ages, but they've really come into their own in the pandemic. They are pulling their weight because no one can see anyone. So the closest you can get to like having a birthday party is making a video for someone on their birthday with all their friends being like, hi, happy birthday. And they're really fun and they're really cute and they always make you feel really nice when you watch them. And so me and my sister were chatting and she came up with the idea of making one for our dad because it was his birthday last week. I won't say which birthday it was because he listens regularly and he won't like that, so I won't. But it was his birthday, and we were like, right, let's make a video. And as the person who is much better at talking to people out of me and my sister, apparently, I was the one that had to call all the people up and send all the emails and try and get all the people involved, which was kind of fun. You know, it's weird, like, calling up your parents' friends independently and being like, hello, it's Alec here, you know. And they're all like, oh, hi, why are you calling? Or sometimes, who are you? That kind of thing. Which is an odd experience, and you have to kind of explain to them what you'd like from them and what they have to do, and obviously because they're not the same generation, they often need a bit of help with how all these things work, which is fair enough, so you've got to be like a tech support person as well. But they all came through, they all said really nice things, which was fun, and you get to watch people trying to work out, you know, what angle's good, and like looking at their chins and all those kind of boomery video techniques. But it's really nice. But I had an idea of a way to enhance this video and get a very special guest on. There isn't really anybody like famous that it would be worth trying to get a message of that my dad would have been interested in. But I knew there was one person who's been a massive part of his life for probably almost as long as I have, like 15 years, pretty much. This person has been a part of my dad's life, right? But they've never met. Never, ever. And I don't think this person even knows my dad exists. That's how complicated this relationship is. Because the very special guest that we wanted to try and get hold of was a man who fits carpets in Glasgow, who my dad has never met. They have literally never met. We know who he is. We don't think he knows who we are. The only difference between him and my dad, well, I mean, there are many differences, one of which is that their phone numbers are different by one digit. I think one of them has like a double 7, the other has a double 9. That's the only difference. Everything else is identical. And so for about 15 years, my dad's been getting phone calls for this carpet fitter in Glasgow from, you know, people in Glasgow in Scotland asking about carpet. And he always has to say, no, I think you've got the wrong number. This does happen on a very regular basis. And I think at some point, one of these people called him back afterwards and went, oh, sorry, it turns out your numbers are only different by this. So we now know what the actual number is. So ever since then, my dad will, when people call up asking about carpet, give them the correct number for this carpet guy in Glasgow so they can be like, oh, thanks, and call the right person. It's been going on for ages. Maybe, I don't know, a few times a year it'll happen. And we decided we wanted this guy in my dad's birthday video, which sounds like a ridiculous suggestion. A man he's never met wishing a man he has no idea about a happy birthday. But I was determined to make it happen. Now, you might remember I've tried stuff like this before. I've tried texting my number neighbour. That never worked out. I don't think anyone ever replied. I've even tried messaging people with the same name as me. And again, it has never really worked. So I wasn't hugely optimistic about the response I'd get when I texted this guy. Obviously, I could text him because I know what his phone number is. It's my dad's, but with one number different. So I tracked him down and I sent a message. First, I was like, hello, is this so-and-so, because that's what his name is, replied, yes, who is this? And I told him the story about how my dad gets his phone calls and has been for the last 15 years. I was like, listen, I've got a dumb funny idea if you want a laugh. He read that, didn't reply. It went like blue ticks, but he didn't reply. I was like, oh no, it's not gonna happen. He's not game for a laugh. He's like, who is this idiot? He's gonna block me. It's not gonna happen. It'll be a big disappointment. I decided about 26 hours passed. I was like, maybe I'll just add on to this to make it a bit less weird. And if he doesn't reply, then I'll drop it. And if he does, great. I said, I should add, this idea will only take 30 seconds of your life, but it'll be pretty funny. And that was what got him. He replied. He said, yeah, I'd love to pass my thanks on to your dad for passing on my number. I'd love to wish him a happy birthday. It'd be a pleasure. And he actually came through. And we got a total stranger who fits carpets in Glasgow who has a very similar mobile phone number to my dad, to record a birthday message for the man who's been passing on his phone calls for 15 years. What an achievement. Complete stranger. And he just did it. What a nice guy. And I do have a little clip. Not a long one. I don't want to play the full thing because that, you know, that's not fair. He sent a lovely message. But this is just a little sample of what he provided when I asked for a birthday message.
Thanks very much for passing on my number for the last 15-ish years. The cheque will be done in the post to you.
Isn't he the most Scottish man ever? But I love it. It was so sweet. He seems really lovely. And he sent it through and he said, good thing I'm good at carpet fitting. I'd never make it in TV. But you know what? I think he's a lovely guy. And I'm just pleased that one of these stupid ideas to contact randomers and get them to do things has finally actually worked. So I'm delighted. This is the story of how I got a random Scottish man who my dad has never met to record a video for him on his birthday. Good week. What have you achieved? I bet you haven't done that. Ash and Phineas are on Wizard Radio right now. Till Forever Falls Apart. Ash and Phineas with Till Forever Falls Apart. This is Wizard Radio. And it's me. It's Alec. Hi. Thanks for listening. Doja Cat, Maisie Peters on the way. Before 4 o'clock, we'll do What's Going On. So stay there. Don't you move. Don't even think about it. I'll be very upset. So I've been reading today. It's all over the news. They're basically saying you're probably not gonna be able to go abroad anytime soon. Foreign holidays kind of cancelled for the time being, which is kind of sad. I was sort of expecting it. I'm the kind of person that throughout the whole pandemic, I've been very pessimistic about where we're going, what we'll be allowed to do when, how long it'll last. So I'm not like shocked and disappointed as much as other people might be. But they're saying, yeah, you're probably not gonna get to travel abroad this year. It seems unlikely because of, you know, the risk of bringing in like different strains and mutations and all that stuff. So it's probably off, but we'll have to wait and see. Basically, they'll be like, don't book anything because you probably won't be allowed to go, which is kind of sad. It sucks. Also, kind of separately today, the Olympics, the 2020 Olympics that are taking place in 2021 in Tokyo. They're not going to be having any foreign spectators coming in, so you're not going to be allowed to travel to see any of the events in the Tokyo 2020 Olympics 2021. That's off as well. So it's not looking great for the foreign holiday industry or for foreign travel or for, you know, making yourself more educated and cultured and getting a tan and escaping from this island. So that is sad news, but the people who will be clapping their hands with glee are owners of seaside resorts across the UK, holiday parks, Butlins, Pontins, Centre Parks. They'll be delighted. And in general, just like places that you might go on holiday in the UK for some reason. I am very well practiced at this. I'd never been on a plane before I was like 11. Most of my holidays throughout my whole life have been in the UK. So I know the UK. I've seen the length and breadth of the UK. It's got some good places. It's got some rubbish places. But it'll do. There's some nice places and I've seen a lot of them. And so the solution is go on holiday in the UK. If that's where you live. If you're listening outside of the UK, don't go on holiday in the UK. But if you are, then you can. If you're listening outside the UK, go on holiday in your own respective countries. Got to keep that virus contained, right? But it's good news for domestic tourism, which is kind of exciting. I know, say, Southend-on-Sea in Essex is not quite as exciting as south of France, but it'll do. It will do. And so if we want to sort of inspire people, give some people some like travel advice this afternoon, I've had an idea. What if, to try and, you know, get the economy going, do what Rishi Sunak wants us to do, we advertise our own home destinations as some luxurious, exciting holiday destination? That's what I'm thinking we should do. Just to, you know, encourage people to see more of this great island that we live on. So hometown holidays are on. Where are you from? Where is it? What's it like? What's it got there? What tourist attractions are there? What has it got that's worth traveling up and down the country just to come and see on summer holidays? I want you to sell it to me. You can do that on Instagram or Twitter. We are at Wiz Radio. You can text me on 07807 183538, or you can email me on station@wizardradio.co.uk. What is your hometown and why should people go on holiday there? What's it got? As an example, I'm from, if we're going hyperlocal, I'm from a place called Stanmore. It's in northwest London. It's got a Pizza Express, so Prince Andrew would be a fan. It's got a great chippy. It's got a library. It's got several moderately nice parks. And most importantly, it's got Bentley Priory, which is where they did some code-breaking stuff during World War II. We've got everything. All the tourist attractions, sun, sea, and I can't think of another S, but it's nice. That's what I'd do. What about you? What are your hometown holiday suggestions for the rest of us? 07807 183 538. Get them in right now. In the meantime, Doja Cat and Streets is on Wizard Radio.
Live from a slightly funny-smelling basement in Manchester, this is Alec Feldman on Wizard Radio.
Wizard Radio, Maisie Peters and John Hughes movie, Doja Cat and Streets was before that. It's Alec Feldman. Good afternoon, and thank you very much for hanging out with me. I was talking before about how foreign holidays probably cancelled again in 2021, and so we've all got to come up with an alternative. But we might be allowed to travel around, you know, our own countries, in my case the UK, probably in a lot of yours. And so I want you to sell me your hometowns as a holiday destination, because that's what we will have to resort to, just going to random places in England that we've never kind of heard of before. Like where I'm from, Stanmore, that has a Pizza Express and the former RAF Bentley Priory. It's great. And so let's take in some hometown holiday recommendations, suggestions, that kind of thing. Jessica has been on. I want to sell my local hometown, Pinner, to people because it's so underrated. Oh, big up Pinner. Pinner, I think, is HA3 and Harrow is HA7, Stanmore, I mean, which is where I'm from. So Pinner, it's down the road. It's all right. It's no Stanmore, but it'll do. Jessica says, when you're in Pinner, you could be in London, you could be in the middle of the countryside. You get the best of both worlds. It's suburban, but there are things to do. We have a lovely, peaceful park, an authentically old-fashioned looking high street, which also has a Pizza Express, and there's a rising market for bookies and betting shops. Pinner can be your home away from home. Oh, wow, you've really sold Pinner to me there, Jessica. You know what I could do? As a Stanmore lad, I could go to Pinner. Just, you know, for a bit of a change, spend a week in Pinner, take in the old-fashioned high street, see what the Pinner Pizza Express is like, and work out how it compares to the one in Stanmore, where I'm from. I could do it all. That is very exciting. And even go to see my friend William Hill and put some money on some football or something. That's what bookies are for, innit? I could do that. I don't know how appealing that is. It is a bit close, but I suppose that means it's convenient to get to. I could get there on the tube. I mean, I couldn't because I'm in Manchester, but if I was at home, then I could. Craig has been on. It's a difficult one, he says, but I've tried my hardest. Okay. Do you want to go on holiday somewhere where you're forced to relax because there's nothing else to do? You'll find yourself drifting off to sleep at any moment whilst trying to find things to take up your time. If quietness is bliss, then where I'm from is heaven on earth. Visit Lancaster today. Oh, that's very harsh on Lancaster. I've never been. I haven't ventured to much of Lancashire. I've been to Blackpool. That's good. I mean, it's an interesting experience, Blackpool. I don't think I'd want to go there on holiday. Lytham St. Anne's, though, that's near Lancaster, right? Kinda. Because it's like down the road from Blackpool. Right? I've been there. Been there twice. And I like that. That's cute. It's nice. But Lancaster, apparently, not the one. That hasn't really been sold to me. I kind of get sleepy quite a lot anyway without having to find things to take up my time. I don't really like being forced to relax either because I get twitchy. I need to do things. So Lancaster, I don't think is the place for me. But it could be the place for you. If you can relax, if you like being put to sleep by the lack of things to do, then take Craig's advice. Visit Lancaster. Go. Do it. It'll be lovely. Send a postcard. Let us all know how great Lancaster is. You don't need to go to Lanzarote when you can go to Lancaster. Sophie. Hello. She says, I live somewhere lots of people like travelling to on holiday already. My hometown is a place where the beaches are full of people who don't fit the bikinis they're wearing. The waves are great for surfing or getting crushed by if you don't know how to surf. There are lots of walking paths and dogs, and they get very busy, so probably avoid them. I guess what I'm saying is, don't visit Cornwall. I like it here because nobody else is here. Don't come and see me. Okay, so what Sophie's saying is basically stay away from Cornwall. Stay well away, leave it alone, because she doesn't want it to get busy. She wants to keep it all for herself. Okay, well, that's off the list. I've been before, I'm sorry about that. I hope you're not too offended by the fact that I did once go to Cornwall, and it was nice. I hope that's okay as a thing to say to you, Sophie. But I have been, but I promise I will never go again if you don't want me to. So there we go. That is 3-4 great holiday destinations if you can't go abroad. You could go to Stanmore. You could go down the road to Pinner. You could go to Lancaster. But under no circumstances are you to go to Cornwall. I hope that I've made that very clear. It's Wizard Radio, and this is Nick Jonas and his other brothers as well with Selfish. It's Wizard Radio. That was Nick Jonas featuring the Jonas Brothers. I don't know how that works either. The track is called Selfish. It's Alec Feldman here. Hello. So, here we are. It is the 20th of March, 2021. And it was about this time last year that, in the UK at least, things started to get a bit serious with the whole, you know, coronavirus global pandemic. It's been going on for a year. I feel like I've been banging on about this a lot because it just feels to me really significant that it's gone on so long now that it started repeating itself again. We did a march last year and now we're doing another march. And what's changed? I mean, a lot, but also nothing at the same time. Obviously, we know a lot more. There's vaccines, there's a way out, it's all good. But I mean, jeez, I just can't believe it has been a full year of lockdown, unlockdown, re-lockdown, all that stuff. It's been going on for such a long time. And I found myself, especially this week, really thinking back to this time last year and how everything changed so quickly. Because now we are at the point where when you think about, oh, what was I doing this time last year? Oh yeah, lockdown, pandemic. And I don't know, that bothers me somewhat. I don't know. But like, for example, this week, 16th of March, right? The 1 year anniversary. But by the way, I'm trying to make that word happen really badly. It's the pandemic anniversary. The 1 year anniversary of the last time I ever had a lecture at uni. I had one on the Monday morning. There was some random garlic on the desk of the lecturer. I don't really know why. I don't know if he thought that would like ward off COVID. It clearly didn't work. And I didn't even know it at the time, but that was the last day I ever went into uni. And then it all shut, and that was that. Lockdown. And I never went back, and then I graduated. So that felt like a kind of significant milestone for me. And I've just been thinking back, because it sort of happened in two stages, right? There was the week just gone last year, where loads of stuff started closing and the government started asking stuff to close. But then there was the week after that when there was, you know, Boris going on the TV saying, stay at home, and the, like, daily exercise and the actual proper lockdown thing came in. And I listened back to the show I did this week last year just because I was quite interested to see, like, what was I saying? How was I talking about it? How did we perceive what was happening? And I just wanted to play it because I think it's quite interesting just as a thing to look back on and go, huh, how wrong you were, what an idiot, or whatever it happens to be. So let's have a listen. This is the very beginning of the show from this week, 2 years ago.
How are you? Are you good? Are you finding everything a bit weird at the moment? I am. I haven't gone into full on like quarantine self-isolation this week, but I very much spent a lot more time inside than I would have done anyway, because I mean basically there is nowhere to go, which is good. That's the point. It keeps us all safe and healthy that way. Uni kind of has wound itself up, so can't do that. No lectures, no classes, the libraries have all closed, all that kind of stuff. Loads of people have had their exams cancelled, which is mad. I mean, some people have their actual GCSEs cancelled, which again can't even begin to imagine. So a lot's gone on this week. I've spent a lot of it inside in my room. I've been really ahead of the curve, actually. I mentioned this from time to time, not very often, mainly because it's incredibly boring, but I love a walk. I'm a big walker. I walk everywhere all the time. If I'm bored of a weekend afternoon, I'll just take myself off and walk for as far as I can until I get bored and then come back. I was ahead of the curve on this. Now everyone is doing it. Everybody who's kind of quarantining is like, oh, walking, as long as you stay a safe distance from everyone else. That's a great way to get out the house and get exercise. Mate, been doing it for like 5 years. Get with the program. So I'm feeling pretty pleased about that. What else has got? It's been a weird old week. I feel like, despite the fact that everything stopped, I've been busier than I've ever been, which is really weird, all things considered. I've had like no time to do anything, which is possibly just because I have nowhere to go and nowhere to be, so I'm just being really lazy and neglecting to do stuff. For example, I've been at home pretty much all week. Have I done any washing? No, I have not. Haven't put a wash on all week. I'm going to run out of clothes soon, that's fine. But, yeah, imagine if someone had told you at the start of the year that this was all going to happen, you wouldn't believe them.
So that was me a year ago talking rubbish about everything that had happened that week. What's changed since? I'm a bit more bored of walks. I was very excited by the prospect of everyone walking. I'm kind of over that now. Obviously, you know, we got forced to stay at home the week after that. I was going, oh, yeah, I've spent quite a lot of time at home this week. Yeah, we all have, Alec, of a year ago. But most importantly, it's been a year. I still haven't put a wash on. Turned stuff inside out more times than you could imagine. So happy Panniversary, one and all. What's going on coming up next after Wolf and Hoops on Wizard Radio? Wizard Radio, and that was Wolf with Hoops. It's Alec Feldman. Hello. After 4 o'clock, we've got to dissect Craig David's daily routine. That's on the way. Plus, the new game, Musician or Motorway. But before that, a different game. It's time for this.
What's going on?
Every week, just before 4 o'clock, I play you a confusing, mysterious clip. It's chaotic. It's very unclear what's actually happening. All I want you to do is work it out. You've got to use your imagination and be creative and clever and just funny, basically. I don't really care if you're right. Just try and be funny and work out what is happening in the clip. You can send in your answers to me. I'll tell you how to do that in a minute. But first, let's have our first listen to this week's clip.
Shut up! It's okay.
Oh my God.
Chantal, you're going to have to hit it outside.
No, I can't. Stop. Shut up.
Shut up!
So that sounds like a very, very high stakes activity, or whatever it is. There's a lot of voices there. I can't work out exactly how many. There's someone called Chantel. I don't know who that is or what her role is in this whole thing. They sound either, do excuse me here, like they're from Australia or New Zealand. I have never been able to tell the difference between the accents. I'm sorry. I struggle. It's one of those, but I don't know which. And they're very worked up about something. There's lots of shut ups. They're kind of screaming at each other. It doesn't sound like a fun place to be. Lots of shouting. But what are they shouting about? Who's Chantel? What country are they from? All questions that I would hopefully like answered before the end of the show at 5 o'clock. If you think you can work out what is actually happening in that clip that you just heard, then get in touch with me. Instagram, Twitter, we are at Wiz Radio. Just get in on there. If you want to text me, you can do that as well. 07807 183 538 or on the email station@wizardradio.co.uk is where you can get through to me. So what is happening in this clip? Best guesses, please.
Shut up!
Oh my God.
Chantal, you're going to have to hit it outside.
No, I can't. Stop. Shut up.
Oh, let's go. Chantal, get it. Shut up.
That is intense. If you think you know why they're all so worked up and shouting at each other to shut up, then get in touch with me right now. 07807 183 538 at Wiz Radio or station@wizardradio.co.uk is where I can be found. Coming up, Rosé and Joel Corry, Ray Guetta, that tune, Bed, is coming up next. After the news, it's 4 o'clock.
I, the voiceover guy, have been paid a small one-off fee to let you know that you're listening to Alec Feldman on Wizard Radio.
Saturday afternoon on Wizard Radio, it's Alec Feldman here, playing Rosé and On The Ground. Hi, how's it going? Coming up, A1 and J1. We've also got Will Joseph Cook and Zoe Wees before 5 o'clock. will conclude what's going on. But now I need to talk to you about something very important. I've been building up to this for pretty much an hour. I mentioned that one of my favourite things in the world this week is an interview that my favourite person in the world ever, Craig David, did with the newspaper Metro. I love Craig David. You might know that about me. You might not know that about me. I am obsessed. I think he's brilliant. I like his music. His music is good. You know, who doesn't love a bit of 7 Days or Fill Me In or Rewind When the Crowd Say Bo Selecta? You know, all tunes. But equally, just as a human being, he fascinates me. I would love to know what Craig David is really like. Like, you know, in private, behind the curtain, what is it like just to hang out with Craig David? We did get an insight into that when he got his mum a car for Christmas. When was that? That must have been about 2 years ago. But Craig, yeah, that was good. And he gave us a whole, like, Instagram story tour of his mum's house and all that kind of stuff. That was a real highlight for Craig David content until now, because in this interview that he's given with the Metro, there are so many ridiculous revelations that he's made about his life. I need to go through them. I need to dissect this. I need to analyze this, because the man is incredible. That he's ridiculous. He has no concept of his own ridiculousness, and that's almost what I love about him. I think it's great. So let's just go through this, like, bit by bit, right? And let me tell you what Craig David's daily routine is kind of like, okay? Obviously, famously in the song 7 Days, he does tell you that he met a girl on Monday, took her for a drink on Tuesday, made love on Wednesday through Saturday, and then chilled on Sunday. But I feel like that was 20 years ago. His life now is very different. And one of the things he revealed in this interview is that every day he gets up at 5 o'clock in the morning to meditate. So he sets an alarm, he gets up at 5 a.m, he meditates for half an hour, which is, you know, quite extreme. It's the kind of thing you'd see on, like, LinkedIn when bosses are like, want to be more productive? Just wake up at 5 a.m. and meditate. So he does that. But then afterwards, after he's done his 30 minutes of meditation, he goes back to bed and goes back to sleep for several hours. So he just randomly wakes up in the middle of the night at 5 a.m. to do some meditation and then goes back to sleep. Why? He says it's the nicest feeling, going back to bed after meditation. I'll tell you what's nicer, Craig. It's much nicer just sleeping all the way through and waking up at, like, lunchtime. That's nice. I guarantee. Try it, Craig. You'll love it. It's much better than waking up at 5 a.m. to meditate. Bonkers, but okay. I like that. It's what he does. It's Craig David's thing. Just being a bit extreme. So then once he's done his meditation, he's gone back to sleep, he's woken up again. He'll have some fruit for breakfast. Just fruit. But again, have you tried, like, Cocoa Pops? But he says, this is another interesting thing that I've kind of picked out of this interview. He always has movies on in the background. Whatever he's doing at home, he'll just put a movie on. I don't get that. Like, movies require concentration. Surely you'd want to either sit down and watch one, or just put, like, the radio on, or some music, or daytime telly. Just if you like having noise or something on in the background. But he's like, no, I'm going to put on a full movie whilst I clean the kitchen or whatever it is. I don't think Craig David cleans his own kitchen. Again, that just feels slightly unnecessary and over the top. His favourite movies are Aladdin or Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. He loves them. He says he'll throw them on as standard, and I quote, just to catch a vibe. I don't really know what that means either, but if Craig says it, he must know what he's talking about. Aladdin helps Craig David catch a vibe. Okay, I'll take your word for that one, Craig. Great. Another interesting thing I've taken from this interview is that he has taken up some new hobbies since the pandemic started. What kind of hobby do you think Craig David, international pop star and heartthrob, would have? Maybe weightlifting or yoga? I mean, obviously he loves his meditation. He's not done any of that. He's taken up flower arranging. Craig David loves a bit of horticulture. He's all over it. He, like, puts plants all over his house, and a part of his daily routine, actually, is watering them, because he had the realisation they're not going to water themselves, which is true. That is how plants work. Good. But he loves a bit of flower arranging, which is the least glam pop star hobby I've ever heard, which again is incredible. I can just imagine Craig sitting there in his house with some tulips and some roses, just putting them in a nice vase together and going, oh, no, that one needs a bit of a trim. Oh yeah, those go well together. Oh, lovely, lovely, that needs watering. I love it. It's really cute and wholesome, but just not what you'd expect from someone as mega as Craig David. So that's that. He likes candles. They help him relax. He gave a few candle recommendations. That's another thing I took from this interview. But forget about all that. That's all kind of weird. But it's not half as weird as this revelation that I found. So do you remember, I've been talking about this all show. It's the first Panniversary, pretty much, kind of over the next couple of weeks it's happening. So do you remember this time last year, everybody was kind of scared that the supermarkets would run out of food. There was the whole toilet paper crisis. There was a flour crisis. And Craig David was concerned, obviously, with, you know, all these people panic buying and all that rubbish, that he might not be able to get any fresh food in the pandemic. So what he did as a solution to this, and again, this is just delightfully Craig David, he went to a shop, a local small shop, I think, called Ella, and bought loads of fancy muesli, and then that's all he ate for I don't know how long. But he just said, I stocked up on muesli, I had it for breakfast, lunch and dinner. So he was eating muesli for every meal. I wouldn't even want muesli for breakfast, it's rubbish. It's like rabbit food, it's like granola's poor relation, it's horrible. He ate it 3 times a day for I don't know how long. He said, eventually, I soon realised, once you've had it for breakfast, you don't really want that for lunch and dinner. Amazing, of course you don't, Craig, because it's horrible. Why would you want to eat the same thing every meal? Forever. I know there's a pandemic, but it's cool. You don't have to eat muesli every day like you're in some kind of secret survival bunker. It's all good. The best bit of that line when he says, you know, you don't really want it for breakfast, lunch and dinner. I still have a few bags to go through, though. It's been a year, Craig! How much muesli did you buy? Has he got like a room in his house that's just filled up from floor to ceiling with bags of muesli? Does he have, like, guests round and all his friends and family and is trying to sell the muesli because he's got so much he just wants to get rid of it? Has he bought, like, an entire family of rabbits just to feed them muesli? How much muesli have you got, Craig David? I would love to know. I need to know. If you've still got muesli a year later, several bags, after panic buying loads, I don't know. The man just bewilders me and fascinates me in equal measure. So that is Craig David's daily routine. Horticulture, Aladdin, and muesli. What a man. And because I love any excuse to whip out a bit of Craig David, I would like to play some of the muesli eating musicians' tunes right now. I mean, just the one. Let's get on. Ain't Giving Up, which is Craig David and Cigala. It's on Wizard Radio. Just think of the muesli whilst you listen to this. It's Wizard Radio. That was celebrity muesli enthusiast Craig David with Cigala, whose views on muesli I don't know. Ain't Giving Up. It's Wizard Radio with Alec. Hello. Coming up next, a song by A1 and J1. It's called Latest Trends. Speaking of, I've noticed a latest trend, which is artists who have names that sound oddly like the names of major roads. You know, A1 and J1 is a classic example. There's loads of others I could list. And so I have come up with a game. The game is called Musician or Motorway! And in this game, you just have to tell me whether the person I am naming is a musician or a motorway slash other major road. Doesn't have to be a motorway. It's very simple. Playing musician or motorway is you at home, and my test dummy over here is James Gilmore. Welcome.
Hi, can I just say, the clap you did, when you weren't sure if you were going to clap yourself, or and then you decided not to, did not go unnoticed by me.
It wasn't a clap, it was just for dramatic effect.
You said, muesli or motorway? That is what I heard.
I just wanted to hype it up, alright?
Alright, fine.
So, you just have to tell me whether this is a musician or a motorway. It's a very easy game. First up on musician or motorway, M22.
Ah! I think I know this. But I don't know if his name's M24.
Who are you thinking of? Who's M24?
There's a rapper. No, wait, you're not talking about rapper. You're talking about that DJ. Yeah, M22's a musician.
M22? You're right, it is a musician. I didn't know there was a rapper called M24, but you're right.
Yeah,
there is. But no, M22, yeah, it's a musician. They had a song with Medina called First Time. However, it may also interest you to know that there is a motorway in County Antrim, which is Northern Ireland, which is also the M22. So that one's kind of both.
Oh, trying to trick
me there. So that's good. Next on Musician or Motorway, A7S.
Oh, that's a musician.
Yeah, yeah, A7S is a musician. They're also on that topic song.
Alec, yeah. Have we been saying A7S wrong the whole time?
How have you been saying it?
Well, we've been saying A7S.
Yeah.
But I heard someone the other day say A7s.
Surely not.
As if the S is like A7s.
But why would the S not be lowercase if that were the case?
I think we might be correct.
I think we're right and everyone else is wrong.
Yeah. All right. I can agree with that.
Okay, good. Next on motorway or musician, B52.
Oh, I think that's a motorway.
You think that's a motorway?
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you, there is a band called the B52s. They're an American new wave band from 1976.
Oh, God, they are behind this very famous song. Love Shack.
Yes, they are. The B52, however, is also a road, again, in Northern Ireland.
So there's a bit of a trick question there.
County Fermanagh. Yeah, a lot of them are both, I can't lie. Right, next. On our game of musician or motorway, A1.
That's a motorway, but also the name of a rapper.
Very good. The A1 is a major road, and the rapper in the song I'm playing next, as is J1. But is J1 also a motorway?
I don't think it is.
It's not, to my knowledge. You are correct on that one. However, the ultimate test on musician or motorway, we've established who's musicians and who are motorways and who are both. But A1, J1, who have done this song, latest trends, can you tell me where junction 1 of the A1 actually is?
Oh, God. No, I mean, look, Alec, don't forget, I don't drive.
So, good point.
So, no idea, actually. I'm not even going to try to guess.
Well, I can tell you, A1, J1, yes, they've done the song Latest Trends. A1, J1 is also located in South Mimms in Hertfordshire. So that is what these artists are named after, I think.
A good clap, a good clap.
And that, everybody, was Musician or Motorway. Here are A1 Junction 1 / South Mimms with Latest Trends on Wizard Radio. Put it on hold for the trophies. Wizard Radio, A1 and J1, named after Junction 1 of the Motorway A1. And H with Latest Trends, Alec Feldman here. Will Joseph Cook is playing next. But first, you know how tomorrow in the UK it's Census Day? Which is kind of cool if you think about it, because censuses have been happening like forever. Like, you know, the baby Jesus was born in a stable in Bethlehem, so the story goes. They were going there and they rode there on a donkey because of the census. They've been happening for ages. It's just when, like, the government are trying to find out, you know, how many people they have, what they're like, what their demographic makeup is like, what they do, where they live, all that kind of stuff, just so they can put together all this data and work out what the country actually looks like. So it's really cool. It's like the biggest data project you will ever be able to get. And it's awesome. So that's happening tomorrow. So you're supposed to like fill in your form tomorrow and all the information should be like accurate as of tomorrow. So that's happening. But I found this cool thing on the internet where you can look up the records from historical censuses or censi? I don't know. We'll call them censuses because censi sounds silly. And you can find out, you know, what people were doing in the past, where they lived, what they did, what year they were born in, all that kind of stuff. It's kind of cool if you like history. If you're a bit of a geek about history like I am, it's a really cool thing. And you can put names in and it'll give you like all the records for those people. And so I've been really interested in this. I've been like looking up all my friends and stuff to find out, you know, what their historical counterparts were up to in their life. So I've put in Alec Feldman. into this historical census document. And you know what? There's not actually that many Alec Feldmans who have lived in the UK. And I mean, there might only have ever been a couple since they've been publishing these censuses, one of which I am actually related to. So that's not very interesting. I haven't learned anything that dramatic here. There was an Alfred Feldman who lived in a similar place to me, and an E.A. Dichter Feldman who was born in 1897. I can't find much about them, but it's quite mysterious. There haven't been that many of me in the UK, which is quite cool. So that's not very interesting. So I decided I'd put in the name of the producer of this show, James Gilmore. And there's been lots of James Gilmores in the UK. There was one born in 1761, another one born in 1776, whose profession was independent, and they lived in Sussex. I don't know really what that means. There was a different one from Yorkshire, who was a lodging house keeper. And this one from Somerset, a different James Gilmore, born 1783, and he used to be a mariner. Oh, not to mention James Gilmore, 1783, whose profession was druggist. Is that like a pharmacist? I would assume. So there's been lots of historical James Gilmores, fewer historical Alec Feldmans. But I wanted to do our own, like, historical census on the show today. So I'll do all the hard work for you. All you need to do is tell me your full name, if you don't mind sharing that. I want you to tell me where you are from. I mean, if it's not in the UK, it probably won't work on this form, but, you know, we can give it a go. And most importantly, what profession you'd like to do when you're older, assuming that not many people listening right now currently have, like, jobs. If you do have a job, like a weekend job or whatever, then you can tell me that, but I feel like a lot of people listening won't work, or at least won't have a career. So you can tell me what you want to do. And once you've given me that, I'll put your name into this website, the Historical Census Archive, and I'll tell you how similar you are to all of the people in the past who have the same name as you. What will we learn from this exercise? Absolutely nothing. We won't advance understanding of the country or humans or history in any way whatsoever, but it might be kind of fun and interesting for me. So if you just send me a text right now on 07807 183 538, alternatively, you can email me, station@wizardradio.co.uk, or slide into the DMs on Twitter or Instagram, @wizradio on there. And just tell me who you are, full name please, where you're from roughly, if you fancy, and what you want to do when you grow up. And then I can compare you to all these people from, like, the 1700s, and it'll be kind of cool. You can see what the person who has your name was up to when they were just living their best life in the 1800s. Fun time. So get them into me right now. I'll do a few in a bit. Delve into the historical archives. After I've played you Will Joseph Cook, and because I like doing research, I like history, what can I say? I've read lots of historical books about the musician Will Joseph Cook, and I've written down lots of facts. I took notes, and I've condensed all those facts that are completely true, by the way, into just 60 seconds. So here's my totally accurate 60-second guide to Will Joseph Cook.
Alex, totally accurate, definitely not made up 60-second guide.
It's the age-old question, Will Joseph Cook? People have been asking for millennia. His brothers asked it before they sold him and his Technicolor Dreamcoat into slavery. The Virgin Mary asked it on the way to Bethlehem. It was also the last words of one of Stalin's chefs before they were purged. Will Joseph Cook? And finally, we have an answer. Yes, he will. Joseph will cook, because he's taken extensive cookery classes since first arriving on the scene in 2017. He's now a level 3 chef. He was trained up at the Ivory in his hometown of Royal Tunbridge Wells, and now runs a small catering business on the side, specialising in the little teas you get after funerals with tiny sandwiches. This song, Be Around Me, originally went viral on TikTok, which led to this new version with Chloe Moriondo on it. And capitalising on his TikTok fame, Will has collaborations lined up with other TikTok stars, including Olivia Rodrigo, Doja Cat, and even Josh685, who's promised to get his special machine for him. Will Joseph cook in 60 seconds? Nah, but give him a squeeze and you can do him for 2 minutes in the microwave.
Alec Feldman on Wizard Radio. Come and join the fun from a safe distance.
Wizard Radio. And that was Zoe Wees and Girls Like Us. Will Joseph Cook and Chloe Miranda were before that. KSI and Dua Lipa playing before the end of the show. and we'll round off what's going on in a minute. But before we do that, we're delving in to the historical archive, because it's the census day tomorrow, when you've got to like fill in a form that has loads of information about your life. That's good and all, but what about people who have the same name as you from the past? So basically, what I've done, a few of you have sent in your names and where you live and what you want to be when you grow up. And what I'm going to do is put them into this website. It's called, what is it called? UKCensusOnline.com. And that tells you all of the people who have the same name as you from the past and where they lived and what they did. So we can sort of, we can compare, we can see what you're like now compared to the same person with your name from like the 1800s. I couldn't really find anyone with my name. Producer of the show, James Gilmore. There are a few for him, including a druggist and, oh, what was the other one? An independent. I don't know what that means. And so let's check out some of you lot. First up, Isabel Bryan has sent me a message, who is from the Wirral, which is in the northwest. It's near like Liverpool, isn't it? And they want to be a vet. And I've popped that into UKCensusOnline.com. And I can tell you, there was another Isabel Bryan born in 1904 in Warwickshire. You're in the Wirral, she's in Warwickshire. I can't tell you much about this particular Isabel. What other Isabel Bryans have we got from the historical census? Is there anyone from like the olden days? Oh yeah, there was one born in 1837 who was a silk weaver. That's cool. And they lived in Lancashire, which is actually not that far away from like where you are in the Wirral. So that's cool. Maybe you're related to this historical Isabel Bryan, who was a silk weaver. It's not quite being a vet. Does silk come from silkworms, or is that just a myth? That's sort of to do with animals, a little bit. Not really. We've got another Isabel Bryan, who lived in Derbyshire. Born 1853, profession scholar, which is slightly closer, because you do have to be like very well educated and study a lot to become a vet. So yeah, that's kind of close. Have we got any other Isabel Bryans on this census? That's pretty much all of the interesting ones. Oh no, there's one from Surrey, born 1877, was a cook. Again, you want to be helping the animals, not cooking them. But we're not a million miles off our historical equivalent with you. Thank you very much for getting involved. Next up on the historical census, someone called Yasmin Collier. Yasmin, thank you very much for getting involved. Yasmin lives in Hampstead and would like to be a graphic designer. But let's just whack that into historicalcensus.com and see what we can find. Collier. Okay. They're all quite recent at the moment. Let's scroll down a bit. There aren't that many Yasmin. I've got lots of Colliers here from like the past. But they all seem to have middle names beginning with a Y instead of a first name. But I bet you'd like to know about, who can I tell you? Elizabeth Y. Collier from Durham, born 1880, profession. They were another scholar. There weren't many jobs in the past, were there? But I can tell you about George Y. Collier, born 1853 in London. They were an unemployed grocery assistant. That's unfortunate also, and quite far off graphic designer. Estate agent from 1846, that's Isaac Y. Collier. Where are all the Yasmins at? All of the Yasmins are from like the 1990s onwards. That's useless. That's disappointing, but I hope we've been able to establish something. Basically, Yasmin, you can be like a path setter, because there's no one with the same name as you from the past dictating what your life can turn into. You can set your own path. You're free from historical baggage. So that's good. You can do what you want with that. Dylan Bryant is next from Brecon, which is that Mid Wales? Who would like to be a musician and an artist. Now, if anything will be on this historical census as a job title, I can see a musician and artist being on there. So what have we got? Not a lot, really. There's Samuel Bryant, who was a shipwright in 1806 Somerset. Again, not that helpful. Let's see, are there any other years where I can delve into? Oh, we might have had peak Dylan Bryant's in 1901. Who have we got here? Again, where are all the Dylans at? They all have different names. This is very disappointing. William J.D. Bryant was a schoolmaster. Jane Bryant, 1836, Hampshire, living on own means. But again, none of these people have the name Dylan, and none of them are musicians either. Very disappointing. What, 1911 if I... No, where are all the... Is Dylan like a new name? Okay, here we have D. Bryant, born in 1900 in Middlesex. Profession, school. School's not a profession. You can be a teacher, but you can't be a school. That's not how it works. Okay, so we've got a lot of new names we're discovering. My name's apparently quite new. There aren't that many of me. Aren't that many Yasmins in the past. Aren't that many Dylans in the past. Ellie Thompson has been on as well, from Glasgow, who would like to work at a market. So let's whack that one in. Ellie Thompson. And what have we got? Anyone? Okay, there's an Irish Ellie Thompson, born in 1884. I can't bring you any more details about that. Ellie Thompson, born Staffordshire, 1888. General servant domestic. Which, that doesn't sound very fun. There's another general servant domestic here, born in a different year with the same name. It's not that exciting. Ellie King Thompson, Hertfordshire, 1886, housemaid. Again, there's more that women can do than just domestic work. This is very unfair. Ellen Thompson, Yorkshire, born 1830, profession stays at home. Where are all the high-flying Ellie Thompsons from the past? Sexism is real, guys. It's, in case it wasn't already obvious. So, there we go. You're all, compared to your historical counterparts, much more high-achieving, I think, which is exciting. Don't let them hold you back. You can carve a new path for yourself. But that's kind of cool, right? All these people with names from the past who did things, and some of them have the same names as us, but actually, it turns out, a lot of them don't. I don't know what we've learned here, but I had a nice time. What's Going On is coming up next. After this, from KSI Youngblood and Polo G. It's Patience on Wizard Radio. KSI Youngblood, Polo G with Patience on Wizard Radio. Nearly 5 o'clock, which is when Miles Mikulski is here. Just before that, we have time to do this. This feature, which has a name, and the name has a special sound effect, and the special sound effect has an echo on it, and the special sound effect sounds like this.
What's going on?
it wasn't that worth the wait. Right, so before 4 o'clock, I played you a clip that was confusing, alarming, loud, chaotic, and I just asked you to work out what the hell is actually happening in it, because it's a lot. It's a lot. Let's have another listen to it now, just to refresh our memories.
Shut up! It's okay.
Oh my god.
Chantal, you're gonna have to hit it outside.
No, I can't. Stop. Shut up.
Oh my god.
What's going on? Shut up.
Lots of people shouting, shut up. I don't know how many people are actually there. Someone called Chantal, and lots of chaos. What is happening? Can you come up with a plausible explanation? Zach has attempted to. He says, this one genuinely has confused me so much, Alec. The only thing I can think it could be, it's a group of girls in a car, and one of the girls is giving birth? I think the girl giving birth is called Chantel. She's trying to focus and keep it as tidy as possible, but everybody's really concerned about it because there's quite a few of them, and there isn't that much room in the car, and it's causing loads of mess because, you know, blood and placenta, da-da-da-da-da. Personally, I think if you're going to give birth in a car, your friends should be more supportive than Chantel's friends seem to be. But then again, you don't know the full situation. So Zach there, thinking that the What's Going On clip is literally someone giving birth to a child from a moving vehicle? Do you think it's a moving car or just a car? you know, I can't get that out of my head now. I'm thinking about it, and it kind of does work. He thinks Chantel is pregnant, soon to be a mother, and they're all screaming about the fact that she's giving birth in a moving vehicle. it's an interesting suggestion. I don't think it's the right suggestion, but it is nonetheless a ridiculous image. But no, Zach, you're wrong, I'm afraid. Chantel is not giving birth. It's not a video clip of someone giving birth in a car. But there is a tiny grain of truth in your otherwise completely wrong answer, which is that they are in a car. There is a car involved. And Nina says the same, actually. I know for sure, the only thing I know for sure is that everyone's in a moving car. So a couple of people are saying that, which is good because that is correct. Nina went on to say, I think the person screaming loudest is the person driving the car, and they're nervous about something spilling or falling over, like placenta. No, Nina didn't say that. My guess is that Chantel's trying to have a drink or something like that, a juice drink, obviously, not anything that would be illegal. And all the girls are nervous about the drink spilling. Well, maybe she's trying to put some drink from one cup into another cup, and everyone's nervous about the spillage. Something to do with moving cars and spilling. Nina, I don't know. Do you really think they're getting that exercised about a drink? I get that spilling is never fun for anyone, especially in a moving vehicle, but do you think they'd really be shouting, shut up, shut up, shut up, ah! About someone trying to transfer a drink from one cup to another. It just feels a bit far-fetched. I don't know. Maybe I'm just way more chill than other people, but I don't think that's quite right. Two extremes. We've had placenta going everywhere from Zach and juice going everywhere from Nina. Tyler has been on as well. He says something messy is happening in this clip. The person causing the mess is called Chantel. It sounds like she's trying to do something potentially funny, or at least she thinks it'll be funny, but all of her friends think it's going to be a disaster. The words, Chantel, you're going to have to take it outside, I think are significant. They're inside. She's trying to do something. They want her to take it outside because it's messy. Maybe a science experiment such as Coke and Mentos. Again, people thinking about spillage, which isn't really close at all. She's not trying to do some science. I don't think any of them find this experience funny. I don't think Chantel's to blame here at all. So let's not blame Chantel. I can tell you that obviously it isn't a moving car, but the thing they're all getting very excited about is not any kind of liquid. It's not Coke, it's not juice, it's not placenta. It's actually a living creature. It's a spider. So basically, there's a massive spider in the car. They're in Australia, so, you know, spiders are actually kind of big and scary and possibly poisonous. And they are all freaking out. They're flipping out. They're like, oh my God, it's gone on the radio. And they're just trying to get the spider out of this moving car without, I guess, crashing it or being bitten. So that is what's going on this week. It's a spider in a car and everyone, including Chantel, panicking. Or I see. That is where I'm going to leave it for this week. Thank you very much for listening to the show. If you've missed anything, then please catch up on the website or get the podcast. Then it just drops into your Spotify or Google Podcasts or iTunes whenever you want. It's called Alec Feldman, the podcast. It's the whole show, just without all the like music and news and stuff. So check that out. Subscribe to it if you fancy. I'll catch you again next week. Miles Mikulski is coming up next after Dua Lipa, but I'll see you next Saturday at 3 p.m.
There goes another episode of Alec Feldman, the podcast. Wasn't that some great content? Come back next week for more audio-based fun.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.